Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from our epistle reading, taken from the letter of James in the second chapter. In verse 14, he writes, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" This is God's word. Friends in Christ, the New Testament letter of James is challenging. It's challenging because it pulls no punches as it describes the way Christians ought to be. It's challenging because James insists that good works have a place in the life of a Christian. And James goes so far as to say that faith without works is dead. Who was James to talk that way? Well, he was Jesus' half-brother, a natural child of Joseph and Mary. He rose to prominence in the Jerusalem Christian church. James had been a skeptic of his brother's claims, and that's probably saying it in the kindest possible way. Yet seeing his dead brother come back to life convinced him that Jesus' claims were true, that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. And James built the rest of his life around that fact. So this challenging letter has authority, even today. It's no coincidence that when you read this letter, especially as a whole, it sounds an awful lot like Jesus. Like Jesus, James tells stories and paints word pictures to get his point across. And like Jesus, his point is hard-hitting. His point is, you and I need to repent. You and I need to go in a different direction. If you and I don't turn away from sin, we'll destroy ourselves. Yet, with God, there is mercy, there is forgiveness of sins, there is a new beginning available with God. James' message is unsettling because Jesus' message is unsettling, and his message is that what God wants is a new you. James is trying to tell you that. Do you want to hear it? The author Mark Twain once wrote, "Most people are bothered by those passages in the Scripture that they cannot understand. The Scripture which troubles me most is the Scripture that I do understand." James is troubling because we can understand what he's saying. What he's saying isn't anything different than the rest of the Bible. James knows that we are saved not by our performance, but by Jesus' performance. James knows that we are saved from destruction by faith in Jesus alone. James knows that you could not possibly earn the status of being a child of God, but it's a status that can be given and has been given to you. It's been declared of you. It's been implanted in you. God's choice. And it belongs to you by faith. What James is saying is that faith is never isolated. It's never alone. Active service always trails behind. It always follows along wherever faith is going. Do you see what James is fighting against? It's this idea that all faith consists of is saying the right words. Or all faith consists of is in my head, I agree to a couple points of doctrine, and once I've done that, since I'm not saved by doing good works, I don't have to do any. I can just sit back, relax, and let it all come to me. James comes along and says, that's not real faith. If you have no desire to serve your brother or sister, if you're not really concerned about taking care of people, James says, check your pulse. Your faith might be dead. So what's the solution? What are we supposed to do? Try harder to be a better Christian? Dig down deep inside and strive for more integrity? No, that won't work. We've tried. We just disappoint ourselves. We feel guilty about it. We beat ourselves up. Or we stop trying. No, the solution is to become a sponge. Yes, you heard me right. We need to become sponges. Now let me explain. Imagine for a moment you are holding a dry sponge in your hand, bone dry. Hasn't been used in a long, long time. Now, imagine that you squeeze that sponge as hard as you can. How much water are you going to get out of it? If you said none, you're exactly right. A dry sponge can't give what it doesn't have. What's the point? This is the point. At different times in our lives, we let our faith become a dry sponge. We let all other kinds of things take precedence over getting our sponge wet with the Word of God. We let all kinds of other things take priority over sticking that sponge into God's bucket, and then we actually wonder why God feels so far away. We can't figure out why we feel so lifeless even though we're so busy. If you've let your sponge go dry, there's just one solution, and it isn't difficult or complex. Get your sponge back into God's life-giving water. Fill your sponge with the Word of God. And when you do that, what do you get? When you soak up the Word of God, you receive the blessing of forgiveness of each and every sin. You get the relief of not having to try to earn enough points to get God to notice you. And more than that, you get God's status in Jesus Christ applied to you. Everything Jesus did counts for you. Everything Jesus is true of you. You are treasured by the Father. He loves you completely. He sees you as perfect. He sees you as eternal. That's what you get when you soak your sponge in the Word of God. And so the connection to good works goes something like this. In life, I'm going to make you a promise. You're going to get squeezed. Pressure is going to come along. Stress is going to come along, and it's going to squeeze you. And if your sponge is full of the precious gospel of Jesus, what happens when you get squeezed? Out comes the grace of God. Think of the opposite. If your sponge is dry and you get squeezed, that's going to hurt. It's going to be pretty uncomfortable when you get squeezed. But if your sponge is soaked in the promises of your baptism, if your sponge is soaked in the identity of Jesus, when stress and pressure come along and they squeeze you, it'll cause the grace of Jesus, the love of Christ, to overflow from your life. You'll get squeezed and it'll flow out, and right there are the works James is talking about. That's why, as strange as it seems, always, Christian people rise to the occasion. Some great trouble or tragedy occurs, and who rushes in to help? Christian people, people who understand the grace of God, they lead the charge. Those Christians take action, not to save themselves, not to earn points, not to look good. It's because we've soaked up the word of the gospel. It's who Christians are. It's who we are. It's who we can be when we soak in God's grace in Jesus Christ. It comes from the Word. It comes from His gifts. To emphasize this point, an educator by the name of William Cunningham told a story. It goes something like this. A man was out walking in the desert very late at night. And all of a sudden he heard a voice. Kind of strange. But he heard a voice that said, pick up some pebbles, put them in your pocket, and in the morning you will be both glad and sorry. He looked around. He wondered if this was some type of joke. There's a prank being pulled on him. He didn't see anybody. And he heard the voice say again, pick up some pebbles, put them in your pocket, and in the morning you'll be both glad and sorry. So he figured, what do I have to lose? So in the dark, he knelt down and scooped up a handful of pebbles and put them in his pocket and walked back to the place where he was staying. Next morning, he remembered what had happened, and he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a handful of diamonds and rubies and emeralds, and he realized that the voice had been right. He was both glad and sorry. Glad that he had taken some, and sorry that he hadn't taken more. God has priceless riches for you in His Word. He pledged those riches to you in your baptism. He serves those riches to you in the Lord's Supper. Don't end up sorry that you hadn't taken more. Soak up God's gifts. And let them flow out of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the challenging words of your Apostle James, who reminds us that faith without works is dead. Not that the works save us, but where we have living faith, works follow along. They are the fruit of a living faith. Again, Lord, remind us that these works are a matter of soaking up your grace and having them become that grace and love that has been given to us in Jesus Christ. That is so much a part of our lives that when we are squeezed by the troubles and the stress of life, what flows out of us are works of love, acts of service, given not in order to get something, but simply as a way of expressing our love and faith in a giving God. Lord, help us to talk about this with one another, to encourage each other, to serve, to use our faith in a way that causes the kingdom of God to multiply and expand in this world. Give us every opportunity to do so. We pray it in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.